Israel, and ask that you might give to him your prayers and your attention as he brings the word of God to us.
Thank you, Chief.
After all that, I feel like I should probably just say amen and sit down. Call it good. I have a few things I'd like to say. When I was preparing this sermon, I thought within myself that it would be a pretty easy sermon to deliver. Until I guess I started turning it more towards myself it doesn't seem to be anything of a subject that would be offensive or anything in this manner, but yet it's very touching to me because of the display of love that has been shown here this morning. And because of me examining my own life and looking at it in this manner. And hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying in a few minutes whenever I get into this. I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day. I'm very thankful for the parents that I had, that I'm able to stand here before you today. And I feel like I'm even privileged to have more than one mother. Privilege to have so many emotions, though. But I am very thankful because I feel in the gospel of Christ that I have quite a few mothers. The one that's sitting over here has been a very good mother to me, as well as I'm glad to see my mother, who raised me all those years and took care of me and did all those things that Donna was talking about for me. I'd like to start this morning in Philippians, in the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse. It says, "Be careful in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever thing be true, whatsoever thing be honest, whatsoever thing be just, whatsoever thing be pure, whatsoever thing whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If they are of any virtue, and if they be any peace, think on these things. I'd like to read the ninth verse as well. Those things which ye have brought, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God and the God of peace shall be with you. More or less the topic of this sermon turned out to be being thankful. The necessity and the need for us to realize really where we are and the blessings which we have. And I'd venture to guess to say if any of us had to trade places with someone in India or someone in Mexico, even though we still know the gospel, it wouldn't take us very long to figure out how blessed we really are. It wouldn't take us very long to really, if when we got back, to be thankful of the things which we have. And one other thing in this scripture reading, that in the eighth verse, talking about the things that are good, that we should think on these things. We all know that we should do good, we should live in a certain manner, but we need to think on those things as well. I'd like to go to 1 Timothy. In the second chapter, in the first verse, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplication, prayer, and intercession, and giving of thanks be made of all men, for kings and for all that are ruler, that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all goodness, in all godliness, and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now that, I think he's saying there that even if we were in Mexico like some of our brethren, and I'm sure that if we heard their prayers, they would be thanking the Lord for the many things they have. But yet, look at us, in as much that it might be hard for us to comprehend even trying to live like that. And it doesn't make any difference if I'm the president of the United States or I'm just somebody. It's needful that we thank the Lord and that we might live a peaceable life that would be acceptable before Him. Sometimes when I'm studying for a sermon, I like Psalms, but sometimes David, I think, was a very deep thinker, or I don't understand him, one or the other always. But I have a few scriptures from Psalms this morning. I hesitate using Psalms sometimes for that reason, but in the 69th chapter of Psalms, in the 36th verse, wait a second, that's the last verse. 30th through the 36th verse. So I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath hooves, has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoners. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, the sea and everything that move therein. For God will save Zion and will build the city of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inhabit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. And throughout this, and perhaps more especially in these verses of Psalms, I wanted us to realize different ways we could relate being thankful, you know. As I sat here this morning before it was time for me to stand up, I knew that within myself that I was going to be a little bit emotional, because I was thinking about the sermon, of course, and I was trying to sing the song. And if I looked up and looked out into this group of people, I knew I had reason to be thankful. Because we have reason to be thankful for each other, for we hold each other up. I have reason to be thankful that we have such a nice place to come and worship in. And I hope and pray within my heart that I'll be just as thankful, perhaps in the day that we won't have such a nice place. And I won't be wearing a suit because I won't be able to afford one. I hope then I can be just as thankful. So I'd like to relate this, being thankful, to a spiritual manner as well as a physical thing. You know, I'm thankful for the heritage which we have in the gospel of Christ. I think we need to stop and take thought in as much of what that heritage is and what we're doing with it. The other night, I endeavored to have a little get-together at Hube's house for my dad's birthday. And it was quite a bit of work because I was busy and I was hurrying around. And it was really worth it, though, because when we sat down to eat, you know, some of that thankfulness would just overwhelm me to realize that I'm sitting there in a home of, it must have been 10 or 12 of us, and the love one for another is something that's truly being worth thanking the Lord for and appreciating each other for. And two, you know, just the fact, my mind thought at that time, as we sat at the table, big long table, and just a lot of food on it, I was kind of touched to think that there's many who've never seen that. That they've never had the luxury of leaving food on their plate. Because he never had that much food to leave. And they never had the luxury of being a picky eater because they only had one thing to eat. So I was, in thinking on these things, somewhat touched and made me realize that we need to really stop sometimes and thank the Lord for what we have, and thank him for for this life. It's just, you know, for the fact that we have an opportunity to live in a manner that might enable us to obtain salvation and the knowledge which we have of His gospel. I'd like to read another verse in Psalms, the 100th Psalm. In the third verse, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving, and unto His court with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations. I think those three verses say quite a bit. A lot of times when I stop and think of, you know, when I'm preaching how I want to preach, I like to read the scripture, and I feel like everybody here can understand most everything that is read. So perhaps I sometimes like to just draw a parallel with different things. I think that in this we might draw a parallel that, you know, he's loved us since Abraham and shall until the last one on the earth is given and his coming. And I think that we need to be thankful and realize that, you know, of His power are we created, and not by our own power. By His wisdom we can walk if we're the sheep in His pasture. I'd like to go as well to 147 Psalms. In the seventh verse, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise unto Him with harps, upon the harps unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food, and the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in whose hope is His mercy, who hopes in His mercy. Again, I'd like to stop as I was thinking about this thankfulness and how we could stop and look in our lives and be thankful. You know, a lot of times, I know Joel, he and I used to talk about this sometimes, we'd pray that it would rain at the ranch, so that it would be nice and green. And I think he's heard our prayers. We pray times that it wouldn't rain because we wanted to do something. But I think that our faith can be strengthened if we just stop and look. Because the earth is, and the natural elements of this earth is a testimony of our God. That he created everything, you know. A lot of times I look at the stars, and that's something special to me, and the sunset and the moon, because that's a strong testimony to me in my mind. Every time I see the moon or the stars, I think that the Lord had placed them there, and it kind of gives me some understanding of the magnitude of His overall comprehension of everything. And
I think that it can really strengthen our faith. And I've oftentimes wondered that in the end, if perhaps I wouldn't be able to see the stars, you know, or the moon or the sun. But we're still standing on the earth. And I think the earth itself is a testimony to me. I know when I'm up in the mountains and I'm wandering around, and I come across a little stream and the rocks are all cut real neat looking and pretty, that's a testimony to me too. And that's something I'm thankful of. And I do a lot of times when I'm in the mountains wandering around, I'm very thankful for that and for the privilege and the freedom which we have in this nation to do that. And I hope that we can hang on to that thankfulness even if the day comes that we don't have that freedom. I'd like to go back to Timothy, 1 Timothy. In the 4th chapter. In the 4th verse. For he created, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And this is talking about where they were talking about a man shouldn't eat meat because it wasn't good. And he's saying it was good. But I want to relate this a little bit in as much that we should be thankful for our daily substance. And I know I've been real thankful for my job, not only because it's enabled me to do things I want to do, but that I could hold a job, and I feel like the Lord really blessed me in it, that I could have Sundays off and Wednesdays off. If I wanted to go to Missouri Camp for All Ages or Colorado Reunion, they give it off to me, you know. So I'm thankful for that, and I think that the Lord can bless us in these things, and I think He does bless us when we're thankful, because I think when we're thankful, we're realizing who's doing the blessing. When we're thankful, that means we're realizing that He is the one that's doing the work and not us. Otherwise, we'd be thankful to ourselves. I have a few scriptures in the Book of Mormon. I'd like to start with one in 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter. This scripture, it's important to me. I think it's important to all of us. It's kind of touching to me sometimes when I read it. In the 44th verse, and my word shall haste forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard among my people, which are of the house of Israel. And because of my word shall haste forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and there can be not any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And they think, and that thank, and what thank they, the Jews, for the Bible which they receive from them? Yea, what do the Gentiles mean? Do they remember the travels and the labors, and the pain of the Jews, and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles? O ye Gentiles, have ye remembered the Jews, my ancient covenant people? Nay, but ye have cursed them, and have hated them, and have not sought to recover them. And again, I think, without me saying too much, you can see in what I think that perhaps we could be a little more diligent in trying to recover the Jewish people or his ancient covenant people. But I thought this was just one more way that we might realize that our need, and I think it's a need that the Lord needs to hear us say, we're thanking him for the things which he gave us. And the Word of God is definitely something that we should be thankful for. In Mosiah, I'd like to read a scripture in the first chapter, in the 51st verse. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and the praise which your whole soul hath power to possess to that God who hath created you and hath kept and preserved you and hath caused that ye should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do account to your own will, do according to your own will, and even support you from one moment to another. I say, if ye should serve him with your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. I don't know if everybody could hear me reading that or not. I'm looking down, talking into the pulpit, I guess. I think that here, King Benjamin was endeavoring perhaps to make people realize that the reason that I have breath to walk or talk or strength is because the Lord lends me that breath. And the reason I have a car or a house is because he's let me use it while I'm in this life. And I think that he said as well, if we served him with our whole soul and all the thanksgiving of our heart, that perhaps we still would be unprofitable servants, inasmuch that his blessing upon us we could never repay in an entire lifetime. I'd like to go to Alma in the 18th chapter. Sixteenth verse. Do not say, O God, I thank thee that we are better than our brethren, but rather say, O Lord, forgive me my unworthiness, and remember my brethren in mercy, yea, acknowledge your unworthiness before God at all times. And may the Lord bless your soul and receive you at the last day into his kingdom to set down in peace. And I don't think that needs too much description, besides the fact that, as well as being thankful, and in being thankful, it's a necessity that we realize who we're thankful to. And not that I'm better than somebody, but rather forgive me of my unworthiness and help somebody that I don't think is doing that great either. I'd like to go on in Alma to the 21st chapter, the 184th verse. And it come to pass that on the other hand, there are two groups of people he was talking about. It come to pass on the other hand that the people of Nephi did thank the Lord their God because his matchless power in delivering them from the hands of their enemies. And I just wanted to put that in there. I came across it as much that, you know, if I'm delivered from an automobile accident or some pretty tragic thing that could have hurt me physically or in a war or something like that, I mean, that's pretty evident that I'm going to be thankful for that. And it won't be too hard for me to find my knees and thank the Lord for protecting me or keeping me. But I think it's just as important that we thank Him every day, you know, because I don't drive downtown a time, if I go all the way downtown, that I almost don't get in an accident. And I think time and time again that I probably would have been in an accident if it wasn't for the Lord's blessing at that particular time. And I hope that in all this you can kind of, a lot of times when I preach, I feel like I get a lot of scriptures, but they don't necessarily fit together somehow. They just, a bunch of them there. And I hope that we can kind of build a picture and we'll be able to see what I'm talking about. I'd like to go to 3 Nephi now as well, in the 9th chapter. In the 20th verse. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out from the midst of them, and went a little ways off from them, and bowed himself upon the earth, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen, and it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. And not only do I think we need to be thankful for the Holy Ghost, which is, we feel is given unto us, but I want to draw some other aspect out of this, inasmuch that Christ Himself thanked the Father. Being Christ and being of power in Himself and being able to do anything He wanted to, He still seen a need to thank the Father for an example for us, and I think He just wanted to thank the Father. I'd like to go on in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. Go back a little bit there. In the 11th verse. And it came to pass that He stretched forth His hand and spoke unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, whom the prophets has testified, which should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drank out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me. And I have glorified the Father, and taken upon me the sins of the world, in which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And within this own scripture, doesn't talk anything about being thankful. Talks about Christ glorifying the Father. But I think if we have one thing to be thankful for, it was this scripture, in as much that He was Jesus Christ, and that He was willing to drink of that cup and die a cruel death upon the cross, that He might take upon Him the sins of the world. And I think that above all things, this is something we need to be thankful for, because it just really, it means a lot. I have one more scripture and perhaps a few comments. And that's in the 8th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi. And imagine you're going to think this one doesn't fit at all. In the 51st verse, For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And that those two verses hold to say a whole bunch just within themselves. But I think that it's necessary for us to stand up on Wednesday night and give a testimony of the blessings that the Lord has given us, because He wanted us to do that. And I think a lot of times He gives us blessings that we might do that, might glorify Him. But I also think it's necessary that when I'm in my closet at home, and I pray in my families and with your wives and children, that they hear you pray, and that you pray as a family in thanksgiving to God from your heart, as well as stand as a testimony. And that's why this scripture got in there, was that the avenue of prayer is one way of thanking the Lord, and it's a very necessity. I would like to say that 45, 50 minutes went by pretty fast. I always wonder if I have enough scriptures or not. And I perhaps kind of have a little confession to make, because I guess it's a natural thing for a man to be a little nervous or worry about getting up here and preaching and standing in front of everybody. But just like today, when I walked up here and I sat down and I looked out there, I had to get a little bit mad at myself, because, you know, I don't think that I should be nervous. I don't think that I should be fearful of standing in front of a group of people whose love is strong for me and for each other, and a group of people who believe in what I believe in. And so I get upset at myself a little bit when I feel like that, because I don't think I should feel like someone's out there to get me, or someone's going to be critical, because as I've said before, I don't feel, and I never have felt, criticism when I'm standing up here. And that's something I'm thankful for. And I'm thankful for the support of each person, you know, and I've talked about that before. And I think that we have a lot to be thankful for in our lives. Just me sitting here and looking at each individual from the back row back there, and I'm very thankful that Dave and Deb came today. And I have reason to be thankful as my eyes comb over each individual, and my mind pulls something out of the past of an experience of visiting with you or doing something with you. I know I have reason to be thankful for the saints of the Lord, and have reason to be thankful for being here, because I believe in this day that we live in. I know, as I've talked to me and the young people, and that was something else I wanted to bring up today, and I wanted to bring it up a prayer service or so ago, but somehow I didn't, and that is, it's an absolute necessity that we pray for the young people, because the discouragements of the world is literally grown stronger from day to day. I feel lots of discouragements, and I have a great joy in the gospel. And perhaps some of the young people haven't had the greatest joy as I have, and the experiences and the opportunities that I have, but yet they feel the same discouragement or greater because they're in schools where the world is dominant. And so I feel a great need, and I see a great discouragement among the young people of the church and among the young people who are just friends of people of the church. And so I would solicit your prayers. I know that you pray for them all the time, but it's very needful because they're tomorrow. They're the tomorrow, the church of the tomorrow. And I'm thankful that the Lord has just enabled me to be a servant and call me and use me in some small way. And I'd like you to take a few of these thoughts with you when you leave, that perhaps when the discouragement of the world begins to move in on us, we can stop, look at the flowers and the trees, take a good stock look at our life, and that we would truly know that our abundance of blessing greatly outweighs the discouragement of this life. Thank you.